This morning, I call your attention to a lesson entitled, Every Christian is a Servant. Every Christian is a servant. Let me read the scripture again that was read. Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey." The 3 years that Jesus was on this earth, leading and teaching the people, and more specifically, in this section of Scripture, teaching his apostles whom he had chosen, preparing them for the church that was to come. And in this section of Scripture, he gives a description of what the church or the kingdom would be like. Again, the Scripture points out to us that he likens the kingdom to a man who calls his own servants to him and dispenses to each one of them talents that were to be put to use. We can read a similar passage when Luke gives an account in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 13. But I want us to notice in this passage that each one of these individuals that he gave talents to, they were a servant, each one. Remember again that he is painting a picture of what the church was going to be like. These 3 men, they all had talents, and they all were servants. But as the story would unfold, and we'll get to that a little bit later, one of them was not a good servant. But yet, he was a servant. So the question that you and I then need to ask ourselves this morning, actually, what kind of servant am I? If I'm a member of the body of Christ, if I have been added to the church that you can read about in the New Testament, I am a servant. But the question is, what kind of servant am I? You see, number one this morning, being a servant is what Christianity is all about. We just sing a song, "I want to be a worker in the kingdom of the Lord." It takes a servant to be a worker in the kingdom of the Lord. And we don't just want to be a servant, but we want to be a good servant. 2 of these individuals were described, as the story goes on, as being good servants. And the other one was a wicked servant. I know none of us want to be a wicked servant. We all want to be good servants. That's why I say the question then that we need to ask ourselves is, what kind of servant am I? If I'm a member of the body of Christ, if I'm a member of the church, I am a servant. No question about it. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that is going away into a journey, and he calls his own servants and he gives them talents. So every one of them was a servant. But only two of them were good servants. So that tells me that the church got good servants and the church has wicked servants. Which one are you this morning? Which one am I? Being a good servant, again, as I've said, is what Christianity is all about. And Christ, who is our example, set the example of what a good servant was like. You remember the story of his washing the disciples' feet in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17? Go there and read it sometime, and it unfolds to us of what he demonstrated as to what a servant was really all about. That is a good servant. The Bible says there that he began to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says that, no, you but don't wash my feet. He says to Peter, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Peter says, if that's the case, then wash me all over. And the Bible says, as we look at the latter part of that, if you would flash up that on the screen, the latter verses there teaches us what Jesus did when he gave that great example. Verse number 14, that's good. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I've served you in washing your feet. Now, you ought to serve one another in washing one another's feet. And, of course, the act that he was demonstrating there was an act of servitude, an act of humility, even an act of hospitality. So what he is saying is that we ought to serve one another. And the point is not necessarily that you have to physically wash someone's feet, but you need to be willing to serve one another in whatever their need is. That's what Christianity is all about. We are in it for one another, in serving one another. So he said, now, if I'm your master, you just call me master. You told the truth. I am your master. I am your Lord. Now, if I, your Lord, and if I, your master, could stoop down and wash your feet, then you ought to wash one another's feet. If I could serve you, then you ought to serve one another. That's what Christianity is all about. And he would teach the apostles again in Matthew chapter 20. The mother of Zebedee's children came to him and desired of him, I want one of my sons to sit on your right hand and the other to sit on the left. These were places of honor. And the other apostles heard that going on. They got a little jealous. They were filled, the Bible says, with indignation. They got angry about this thing. And so Jesus then had to, you know, call them together and really explain to them what had really been asked. You don't realize what you're asking. Are you willing and are you ready to be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with? Do you really know what you're saying? And he knew they didn't know what they were saying. So he went on and he taught them a lesson. And down about verse 25, he said this. He says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, that they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great, the Bible says, exercise authority upon them. But then he says, it shall not be so among you. You just asked for something. Your mother just asked for something. And the rest of y'all have gotten jealous and gotten mad because you think these two disciples, these two apostles, they're going to get the upper hand on you. But he says, that should not be your attitude. So he says, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister or your servant. If we want to be great, then serve. And don't serve for the purpose of being great within itself, but serve for the glory of God, and God will call us great. That should be our attitude. That's what Christianity is all about. It's about being a servant. Whosoever, he says, will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And then he brings himself back into the picture, pointing them back to him. I'm your example. Even, he says, as the Son of Man came not to be served or to be ministered unto, but to serve or to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the example that Jesus has set for us. Again, are we that kind of servant? Are we the kind of servant that we are willing to serve somebody else? Are we the kind of servant that want to be served? I tell us right now, if we are the kind that want to be served, we are not a good servant. A good servant don't concern himself about being served, but he or she is concerned about serving. Now, I remind you that when we are concerned about serving and when we do serve, we're going to get served because it's going to come back. Ephesians 11:3 says, cast your bread upon the waters, and in many days it shall return. So if we serve, eventually we're going to get served. But we don't serve to be served. We are served because we serve. I hope you understood what I just said. So Christianity is all about being a servant. In order to be a good servant, then, we must be humble people. Again, we can't act like the Gentiles. That's the lesson he just taught them. You can't be acting like the Gentiles who you are concerned about exercising authority. You're concerned about position so that you can exercise authority upon somebody. But you need to be concerned about humility and serving with an humble heart and with an humble spirit. You notice the Apostle Paul, even though he was an apostle, he always referred to himself as a servant. Romans 1:1, he says, Paul, a servant. A servant. John, you're a preacher. But first, you're a servant. Willie, Fred, Brother Jimmy, he's not with us this morning. Y'all are elders. But first of all, you're servants. Brother James, a preacher. First, he's a servant. Anybody else who preaches, Brother Marvin, Brother Dennis, they are deacons and preachers. But first, they are servants. So if we don't look at ourselves as a servant, first of all, we're going to have a problem with the kingdom. James, the Lord's brother, he could have claimed, if you will, heritage. He could have said when he wrote his letter, he could have said, James, the brother of the Lord. But he didn't say that. James 1:1, he says, James, a servant. Look at the humility. They understood, apparently, what Christianity was all about. We need to be servants. And something else about a servant, good servant, a good servant obeys his master. Again, what kind of servant Are we? That's what we're asking ourselves this morning. The main title, of course, is Every Christian is a Servant. But the subtitle is, What Kind of Servant Are We? A good servant always obeys his master. He realized that he serves, if you will, at the pleasure of the master. And so he obeys the master. Look at what is taught in Luke chapter 17, in verse number 7, beginning. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says there, But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, Go and sit down to meat or to your food. He said, Which of you now? You got a servant who's plowing in the field, and when he comes home, you're going to tell him to go and sit down and eat your food. That doesn't happen. But he says, And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup. This is the master talking to the servant. Make ready wherewith I may sup or eat, and gird thyself and serve me. That's the master. Till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward, get that church, afterward thou shalt eat and drink. You serve me. And then you eat and drink. And then the Bible goes on and says this. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not, or I think not. And the last verse says this. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty. That's what servitude is all about. We don't serve to be thanked. We serve because it's our duty. Duty means it's obligation. When we become a child of God, we become obligated to God. Now, whether we carry our obligations, that's another story. You know? When you buy a car, you buy a home, unless you can pay cash for it, you're obligated for the debt. Now, whether you pay it, that's your business. We're obligated to our Lord to obey him. Whether we obey him, that's another story. But a good servant is what he's talking about here, is going to obey the master. He's going to serve the master, and then he's going to eat, and then he's going to look at himself as being an unprofitable servant. I've just done what was my duty. My duty is to obey the master. That's what a good servant does. Are you a good servant this morning? Ask yourself that question. I want us to think, because we're trying to go to heaven, aren't we? The kingdom of heaven is life. This man that went off to this far journey, and he called his servants to him and gave each one of them some talents. So again, when we look closer at this parable, further I should say at this parable, as I've already referred to, two of them obeyed. They did what the master expected them to do. Notice in verse number 16, of Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says this. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And the next verse says, And likewise, he that had received two also gained other two. Master gave them the talents. Luke 19 calls them pounds and says, Go and occupy. In other words, go and do something with these. So they obeyed. And notice what the Bible says when they obeyed. The Bible says that the Lord called them good and faithful. They were good servants. They were faithful servants. That's found down in verse number 21 and 23. But then the other, in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter 25, the Bible says, in verse number 18, if we can go back there, the Bible says this, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Is that what the Lord told him to do? He didn't obey the Lord. He didn't obey the master. He did what he wanted to do. But notice what the Bible says again about him in verse number 26. In verse number 26, the Bible says this. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Didn't I tell us everybody's a servant? There are some good servants. There are some wicked servants. In the church, not out there, but in the church. When I say out there, I don't mean outside of this building, literally. I'm talking about folks who are not members. I'm not talking about folks that are not members of the church. I'm talking about folks that are members of the church. Some are wicked and some are good. Thank God for the good. As we ask ourselves this morning, if we find out that we are in that wicked category, we need to make some changes. Because notice he says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strong. And verse number 30 says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into where? Out of darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The good servant received these words, thou good and faithful servant. The wicked servant heard the words, cast me into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, notice what is not said about the wicked servant. The wicked servant wasn't wicked because he killed somebody. He wasn't wicked because he stole from somebody. He wasn't wicked because he talked bad about everybody he saw. He wasn't wicked because he ran off with somebody's wife. He wasn't wicked because he did some outlandish thing. He was wicked because he failed to do what the master told him to do. So, just not doing what the Lord says makes me wicked. I don't want to be a wicked servant. You don't want to be a wicked servant. Because you see what happened to this one. The Bible says he was cast, or the command was given to cast him into outer darkness. So you and I need to strive to be the best servant that we could be. The second main thing I want to leave with us this morning is that since all of us are servants, and all of us should strive to be good servants, that we are to serve according to our ability. And the Lord knows our ability. Go back to the parable again. This man that was going on the journey called his own servants to him and gave to each one of them talents. The Bible says, according to their ability. This man knew the ability of the five talent man. He knew the ability of the two talent man. He knew the ability of the one talent man. Now, the Lord knows each one of our abilities. Each one of us have some ability. Now, just having the ability is not enough. It's doing with the ability that we have what we should do. The five-talent man used his ability like he should have. The two-talent man used his ability like he should have. The one-talent man, though he had the ability to use that one talent, he refused to use it. A lot of folks got ability, but they refused to use it. God is holding us accountable for the ability that he's blessed us with. Somebody says ability plus opportunity equals responsibility. The five-talent man had the opportunity to trade his talent. The two-talent man had an opportunity to trade his talent. The one-talent man had the opportunity to trade his talent, but he refused to be responsible. That's my point. All of us need to be responsible with what God has blessed us with. Are we responsible using our ability, what God has blessed us with? Are we doing the same thing that the one-talent man did? So we ought then to serve according to our ability. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. In the early church, everybody had different gifts. Today, everybody got different gifts, abilities, talents. We need to use them. And each talent that we have, it is important. And God takes us, puts us into the one body with the different abilities, with the different gifts, not spiritual gifts, but different gifts, different abilities, and he uses us to accomplish his mission. He places each one as it pleases him in the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 14, the Bible says this, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Somebody might wonder, why can't I be a five-talent man? Well, if God hadn't blessed you or blessed me with the five talents, then I shouldn't worry about it. Just use whatever God has blessed me with. God has placed me where he wants me to be. And he's pleased with where I am if I'm where he wants me to be. God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. You see, there is something for all of us to do, no matter what our ability is. And we all need to recognize that. And as we interact even with one another, we shouldn't be looking down on another because another do not have the same ability that we have. But we ought to be encouraging one another. Every member, you see, is necessary. If it were not necessary, God wouldn't have placed it there. It's necessary. Look at what the Bible continues to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 22. He says, name much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, are what? Necessary. God needs those who seem to be more feeble. He needs them because that's something they can do too. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which is lack, that there should be no what? Schism. No division in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And sometimes, when we began to look at people with different abilities and began to judge them, if you will, from that standpoint, we can create a lot of problems in the body of Christ. Because you don't, can't do, and we may not say it in that fashion, but we are thinking that because they don't have the ability that I have, then they're not important. You get back out of the way and let me do my thing. We should never be like that. And folks pick up on stuff like that. They know when you're looking down on them. They know when you're mistreating them. They know when you're thinking they are nobody. But if they're in the body, God placed them there. They're necessary. Let God use them and then work with them as the body so there'll be no schism, no division in the body. And he says every member should have the same care one for another. Highly educated, no education, in between, everybody ought to have the same care one for another because we all belong to Christ. Good servants then, I'm talking about good servants, recognize that God has a need for everybody in the body. And they serve and allow others to serve according to their ability. Again, sometimes people are pushed in the background because of their ability. But if that's their ability, God gave them that ability. God wanted to use them. Then work with them and let them serve all together in the body of Christ. And in all of our service, this is the last point that I'm making. We are to serve to the glory of God. Whatever we do is to be done to His glory. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of who? God. Do all to the glory of God. Otherwise, if it's not done to the glory of God, we're not a good servant. And certainly, if we're not a good servant, we're not a servant of Christ. Only an humble person would do this. An humble person doesn't compete. He realizes that in the body of Christ is not a place for competition. It's a place of working together. In the body of Christ, he doesn't build himself up. He allows God to do the building up. He just works. She just works together with one another as a servant. The Corinthians had a problem with this, and Paul, by inspiration, wrote to them along these lines. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 3, in chapter 1, you can read about them aligning themselves behind certain men. In chapter 3, he comes along and he says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye yet carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers, they're just servants, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Paul says, I helped plant it. I was in the planting business. That was my serving business. I was in the planting business. Apollos watered. That was his serving business. He was in the watering business. But God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that give the increase. So I preach, but I'm not nothing. The elders elder, but they're not anything. The deacons, as they say, deek, but they're not anything. The members attend and worship and doing their service various areas, but they're not anything. All of us are just servants of God. And God is the one that gives the increase to all of the things that we do according to his will. Therefore, when I serve God, when I work in the kingdom of God, I do it all for the glory of God, because I realize it's not about me, but it's about him. What kind of servant are you? Are you a good servant? Are you a wicked servant? That's the question that you and I have to answer. And I know the question. I realize I know the answer, and you know the answer. And if we don't know the answer, God knows it. But we better get in tune with God. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that went into a far country, and he called his own servants, and he gave each one of them talents. And he took his journey. And one day he's coming back, and he's going to judge everybody according to what they have done with the talents that he's given them. Just like these three men, they were judged. The one that gained five was a good and a faithful servant. The one that gained two others was a good and a faithful servant. But the one that hid his was a wicked and unprofitable servant. But yet they were all servants. So we could say, as we close today, that the good servants were saved in heaven. That's the only way to read it. But the wicked servant spent eternity in hell. Which one do you want? I know which one you want. You want the same one I want. To spend eternity in heaven. So then let us strive to be good servants. We're in the body. Let's strive to be good servants. Just being in the body is not enough. We got to be in the body, obeying the master, doing his will. If you're not in the body, the Lord wants you to be in the body, because he wants you to be saved. He wants everybody to be good servants. But because he wants everybody to be good servants, there's no guarantee that everybody will be. As a matter of fact, he's teaching us right there that everybody won't be. But they are not good. They are not a good servant because he doesn't want them to be. It's their choice. So today, it's our choice. If you're in the body, it's our choice to be a good servant. If you're not in the body, it's your choice to become a member of the body and be a good servant by obeying the will of the Lord. He wants everybody to come to heaven. The church is the place that he puts the saved in, because one day he's going to bring the church to heaven. You need to be in it if you want to go to heaven. Hear and believe the gospel. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Be baptized in water for the remission of sin, and the Lord will add you to the church. Become a member of the church then, and continue to be a good servant. And in the end, you'll hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You're already a member of the body, but somehow you realize that you're not that good servant. You can make a change today through repentance. You need to confess. Whatever your need is this morning, we're begging you to come. Do it right now while we stand.